This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Extreme heat, bad air, some schools with no AC, so they're on half days. We should be getting a break soon from the worst of these temps, but all through today, still bad at this massive fire in the Inland Empire.
Bad air out there today, and you could see it in the sunrise, just the smoke in the air. Nearly 2,000 firefighters on the lines of the line fire out in San Bernardino. Made some progress, but still a lot of work to do. John Baird is at the fire command post in Beaumont with the latest. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. Yes, the fire is finally, they've gotten some lines around a little bit. They're at 3% containment. It's still pretty much out of control, and it's going to be another very hot day, and that is an issue. Imagine these firefighters on the front lines dealing with 110 degrees heat. Now, today it's going to be a little bit cooler out here, but it's still going to climb over 100 degrees. That's tough, and we have all these people who have been evacuated or ordered to evacuate, something like 23,000 under evacuation orders, and many, many more under warnings to get ready to evacuate. I'm with Rick Carhart with Cal Fire. Rick, what's the plan today to attack the fire?
Well, the plan is more of the same that we've heard, for the past few days. We've got resources on the ground who are going to be working with our resources in the air, the helicopters and the fixed wing airplanes. Basically, the goal is just simply to go direct and get right on the fire's edge and start cutting those containment lines and increasing that number. We'd like to get that number up from 3, and it'll start going up. But as soon as we can do that, that's going to be great. And so we'll do that between, like I said, the combination of our guys on the ground working with the crews up in the air as well.
Any communities under direct threat right now? I mean, you told me that you were able to keep the fire away from Running Springs.
That is correct. So far, the community of Running Springs has not been impacted as far as structures burned. The community itself has been impacted, obviously, because they're all ordered to evacuate. But so far, the fire has not gotten into any of the homes in that area. That is still a concern. We're working really hard to keep the fire out of that area. And then there are other communities to the east of the fire that we're working hard to make sure that the fire doesn't get to those communities either.
Rick, thank you so much. And he was telling me that east of the fire is the hot spot, per se. I mean, it's really steep terrain. It's hard to get equipment or people up there. They're going to try to hit that from the air. But he says they also need to get hand crews in there. So, Mike and Vicky, this is a very important day. They're hoping to make some significant ground. But right now, again, it's at 3% containment.
All right, John, thanks. Several school districts in the area with classes canceled today. All the schools in Redlands, the Rim of the World, Yucaipa, Cala Mesa districts, those are closed. They're going to monitor things throughout the day, decide later this afternoon whether there's no school tomorrow either. San Bernardino, Bear Valley, Colton, Joint Union districts, those are open, but everybody's staying inside.
Some schools will be on a shortened schedule today because of the heat and the problems with air conditioning. Some LA Unified schools in the San Fernando Valley, minimum day schedule. Noble Elementary, Woodlake Elementary, Canoga Park High School. Torrance Unified says some of its schools don't have AC, and because of that, the whole district is on a minimum day schedule.
We were talking about this sun bright red this morning and all the smoke. We got that bad air.
Smoke from the line fire and other fires. It's affecting the entire LA, Orange County, and Inland Empire, prompting a wildfire smoke advisory from the AQMD. It's going to last until midnight tonight. Ray lives in Highland, downwind from the line fire. There was literally ashes falling around us.
And I noticed you're out here with goggles and a mask. Talk about the air quality and the heat.
The air quality is pretty bad. You can feel it in your lungs.
Downwind from the fire, the sky was yellow. It was smoky. It was hard to breathe. Several school districts in the Inland Empire are canceling classes today, so check with yours. The air quality is going to range from unhealthy for sensitive groups to straight up hazardous. Keep your windows closed, air conditioner or air filter on, and when you're driving, make sure that your air is recirculating, not coming in from the outside. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Fire burning in the San Gabriel Canyon north of Glendora increased quickly to 800 acres. That's the last count, 0% contained. They call this the bridge fire. An evacuation order was issued last night for the East Fork communities of Camp Williams. Some people in the nearby Angeles National Forest were also told to leave.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by the loanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. VP Harris and former President Trump getting ready for tomorrow's debate. First and maybe the only time these two are going to square off on stage. And then congressional Republicans also releasing this report on their probe into the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Live to talk about this, CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Scott, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Final hours of the debate prep underway. What does that look like for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris?
Well, literally for Vice President Harris, it means moving from one end of the state to the other. She'd been holed up in Pittsburgh doing debate prep, and this debate is in Philadelphia. So she's making the move today to get to the debate site. And they were still quarreling over the debate rules till the 11th hour about whether those mics should be muted when the other person is speaking. It feels like part of that was mechanized to lower expectations by one side or the other. That's what they're going to do over the next 24 hours. But here's the bottom line. Our latest CBS News Battleground Tracker polling has this as basically a coin flip in the battleground states where it matters. And this is one of the few, if not the only, remaining guaranteed inflection points before November 5th. It's going to have a big audience. It's going to have big stakes.
And Democrats have been saying, oh, she's a prosecutor. She's going to go after him. She's going to wipe the floor with that guy. But do they need to remember that he's been in more of these than anybody else at this point, and he loves TV?
Yeah, and they're using that rationale, Mike, to lower expectations. I've heard Democrats say he's a TV star. He knows how to perform on cameras. And without those microphones being open, you can't prosecute anybody directly or fact-check anybody directly in real time. So they're trying to soften expectations without knowing how this goes or who the focus is going to be on. I can't tell you how many Democrats I talked to, Mike and Vicky, who say Vice President Harris need not inform the public as much about President Trump as about herself. Very few Americans have soft feelings or are undecided about Donald Trump.
You know, Mike mentioned TV, but a lot of people listen to the debate on the radio or stream it, and we'll be carrying it here on KNX News. And it can be a very different experience when you watch something versus when you listen to it. How much does the content matter in this, do you think, versus just the flubs, the snark, the sound bites, how people come across verbally?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but you know, the sense we had when the radio audience listened to President Biden on June 27th is they may have thought he sounded even weaker than he did on television, though they didn't have the visual to go along with his voice. There can be a different optical experience than an oral audio experience. If this gets into substance and policy, that's typically where presidential debates go. And it's, I think in the mind's eye of so many Americans, they'd like it to go there. But Donald Trump has not shown himself somebody who has a tendency towards going deep on policy. And there's no expectation he's going to spend his time talking about policies, regulations, or upcoming legislation he's going to champion from Congress.
Afghanistan reports. This has been a three-year effort from some of the Republicans there in the House. And something people are picking up on this morning is in the first draft, a couple of years back, Kamala Harris was mentioned just a handful of times. And in this new one, her name's all over the place.
I just came out a few minutes ago. I'm looking at it for the first time. Not only is she mentioned, she is on the cover photo along with President Biden. And the first set of executive summary bullet points says Biden-Harris administration, Biden-Harris administration, Biden-Harris administration. They may have reauthored this or they may have always intended that. But here's the fundamentals of the report. They're going to argue, Republicans in the House are going to argue, the Biden-Harris administration was too determined to withdraw and too determined to do it on their terms and not enough to ensure the safety of Americans before pulling the trigger metaphorically.
CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. Thanks.
The government wants changes made to bigger SUVs and trucks for safety reasons. Concern in the IE over the world's oldest trees. We'll tell you why. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
The antitrust trial for Google underway this morning. Alexandria, Virginia jury trial. Government says Google deprives publishers of the online revenue because it holds the monopoly on tools that control a bunch of the advertising tech. Here's CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The question in all of these antitrust cases is, how did you get so big? Did you engage in anti-competitive business practices, or are you simply better than your competitors? Google argued that its search feature was superior, but they just lost that antitrust lawsuit. Now the same question is being asked of its online advertising business.
Justice Department, joined by Coalition of States and Google, each made opening statements this morning to the judge. Going to decide some things here. Google loses the case, could be required to sell off parts of its ad tech business that generate billions of dollars in the annual revenue.
Fed's Road Safety Agency, that's NHTSA, wants the auto industry to design new vehicles, including SUVs and trucks, so they reduce pedestrian deaths and injuries. The National Traffic Highway Safety Administration says in a statement this morning that it's proposing a new rule setting performance requirements to minimize the risk of pedestrian head injuries. The rule is aimed at largely SUVs and trucks, which have grown in size and hood height over the years, causing blind spots for drivers. Agency says the rule would save 67 lives each year. Data show that pedestrian deaths when hit by the front of the vehicle are most common from SUVs and trucks.
CBS has spoken to the grandfather of the 14-year-old in the school shooting in Georgia. Two students killed, two teachers. Grandfather says the teen's mother tried to warn the school. She called in the day of the shooting. Here's CBS's Anna Schechter.
CBS News reports that Charlie Pulhamis, Colt Gray's grandfather, and the father of Gray's mother, Marcy Gray, said that Marcy received a text message the morning of the shooting from Colt saying, "I'm sorry, mother." So it stands to reason that Marcy, his mother, received that text and then, according to a timeline, called Appalachian High School to warn them.
Grandfather also called his son-in-law, Colin Gray, evil, adding that he should get the death penalty for his role in that massacre. A recall involving eggs. We get that story from Matt Piper.
Check those eggs. The CDC has issued a warning about recalled eggs. Across 9 states, 65 people were infected with salmonella, linked to eggs supplied by Milo's Poultry Farms, LLC. 24 people have been hospitalized. Milo's Poultry Farms is located in Wisconsin.
States that have reported cases linked to the salmonella outbreak: California, Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin.
Global records for travel, Jennifer Hodges.
It's been a while since we've seen these incredible numbers on the travel front.
During COVID, travel almost stopped completely, but we have seen a massive rebound.
New data from the World Travel and Tourism Council show travel making up 10% now of global GDP, gross domestic product. Travel industry analyst Henry Hartevelt says people are rethinking how they do things.
We prioritize experiences over buying things, and travel is, of course, one of the ultimate experiences to have.
A few aspects of travel standing out.
Certainly, we're seeing leisure travel experiences like cruises grow in popularity, and more people are willing to take guided tours, especially if these are expedition-like tours to exotic or unusual places.
I'm Jennifer Hodges, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Riverside County City has approved a development project just 450 feet away from one of the world's oldest trees. The Harupa Valley City Council approved a plan to build a residential, industrial, and commercial development near the historic Harupa Oak. The tree is more than 13,000 years old, the third oldest known living organism in the world. Environmental groups and local Native American tribes aren't happy with the move and plan to fight the decision in court.
20 minutes of nonstop news, the Apple event today. It's glow time. That's their tagline. Unveiling some new iPhone 16s, the Apple Watch series, maybe some new AirPods, and a lot of talk about AI. We talked about the event with Macworld executive editor Michael Simon.
So much to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Well, it's the iPhone event, so we should probably start there. The iPhone 16 is coming out, but, you know, it's really just another iPhone, new chip, maybe slightly larger screens, a better camera. Not a ton to upgrade if you bought last year's model, but if you're on an iPhone 12 or an iPhone 13, it'll be a nice change.
I was going to say, how do they get people excited anymore? Because I was actually having this conversation with somebody over the weekend saying, you know, I've forgotten which iPhone I'm on now. It's one of the recent ones, either last year or the year before. But the only way I know is every time I break the screen protector and I have to go on Amazon and buy a new one, I have to look on the phone to see which one I've got so it'll fit. So what are they doing to, like, draw more people in? If, as you say, every phone's the same now, quote unquote, and it's got, like, a better camera every time. And that's all people ever really hear about.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. For the last 4 or 5 generations, it's been pretty similar. This year, the big push is AI. Apple Intelligence was announced at WWDC a few months ago. Right now, it's only on the iPhone 15 Pro. So if you want it and you don't have that phone, you're going to have to get one of the new phones. And I think Apple's going to really lean into that AI thing. The glow time theme also kind of speaks to that, because Siri has, like, a new look that glows the screen instead of has a little bubble at the bottom. So yeah, AI is the big selling point this year.
You seem to be kind of blasé about this. In fact, well, this is, you know, they're doing this and then this is nice. Is there anything about this event that you're excited about?
Yeah, I think the Apple Watch, strangely enough, is a bigger product than the iPhone. The events today, the Monday, which is exactly 10 years after the Apple Watch made its debut in 2014. So I think they're gonna lean into that. I think it's going to have a design change for the first time really ever, with a larger screen, maybe a thinner body, some new bands, some new functionality, faster chip, maybe more battery life. I think the Apple Watch is really the big play here. And the iPhone is just, you know, we have a new iPhone. And, you know, it's nice, but this is the real product that we're focusing on.
We're all going to have to get more used to AI as we go through the next couple of years and then start using it. Is Apple the way that a lot of people are going to have their first, like, real interactions with it? Because not everybody is going to go and download ChatGPT and start playing around with it. But if it's on the phone and so many people eventually will get the new phone, is that kind of their first, like, okay, like, I'm learning, I'm getting it?
I think so, yeah. I know... You have a Samsung user among you, and
she's right over there.
AI on, and there's been AI on Android phones and the Galaxy phones for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Whenever Apple does something, because they have so many users, because there's so many people out there that buy these new phones, it is often the first look that people get of a feature that's sometimes been on Android phones for years. So yeah, I think Apple Intelligence will be the first look. And AI, I'm still not convinced that it's like the big next thing. You know, the generative stuff is cool when you can make pictures and emoji and stuff. I just don't know that it's really life-changing. But Apple had to do it because, you know, it's big on Google, it's big on Samsung, it's big everywhere. So I think it's important. I just don't know that it's really like the big way forward.
Michael Simon there at Macworld.